We spoke a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Shaida, kind of like linking to our previous conversation. Reports indicating that the Jocelyn Smith trial set to reach its conclusion in a couple of days' time with the sentencing of the missing girl's mother and her two accused who've been found guilty of kidnapping and human trafficking. So since all of this has now come out in recent days, let's say the last 2-3 weeks, Dr. Shaida, many South Africans asking, okay, we're very happy with where the verdict is heading, but as South Africans, we want to know what eventually happened to this poor little girl, Jocelyn Smith.
Indeed, I think that is the most important question, because her whereabouts are unknown, whether she's alive, whether she's dead, whether she's been harmed, inflicted with severe injury. Her mental state, there are so many unanswered questions, and it's unacceptable, because if we look at the silence of the accused, it speaks to obstruction of justice and concealing their actions. So this speaks to their intent as well and the complicity in the crime. And the reality is that it was articulated that this child, this victim, was sold for exploitation. So, you know, one cannot even begin to appreciate the fact that they are convicted, but, you know, no sentencing will actually bring back Jocelyn Smith. I think that is something that we have to realize. The reality is that there is no presence of Jocelyn Smith anywhere.
That's very true. It's essentially, Dr. Shaida, an indictment on our societies and our communities. It once again just raises that important argument that we make, the failure of the judiciary. And I think more importantly, the continued trafficking of children and minors within our midst. It has become more and more prevalent.
It has become more prevalent because of the lack of recourse, the lack of consequence management, which has given permission to perpetrators, to traffickers, that they can get away with murder. You know, we labor on that pun, get away with murder. So exploitation of children, because there is no recourse to access to justice for children. They continue to remain voiceless, as is in the case with Jocelyn Smith. Her voice is nowhere to be heard, and there are no traces to, enable her to articulate anything around what has happened to her. And I think that certainly speaks to the current systems that are failing our children, not only the Jocelyn Smith, but many other children that have disappeared and their whereabouts not known.
Dr. Shaida, presiding judge Nathan Erasmus has warned Jocelyn's mother, the boyfriend and the friend that they do face lengthy sentences in prison. So that would obviously be welcome. But again, as you say, and as many South Africans, we will probably continue to ask, still for a very long period of time, what eventually happened to this poor little girl? So we would welcome this very strong possibility that they face lengthy sentences in prison, but it's never going to bring this little girl back.
Unfortunately not, because if we just look at, this wasn't a random act. It wasn't an act just in spontaneity. There was planning to concealment and enactment of enactment of actually the exploitation where this child was sold. This, you know, it was about generating profit. It was objectifying this child. And I think without decisive action, if we just look at the challenges faced as a country, as a nation, more children will disappear, more families will suffer, and more perpetrators are going to evade justice if this sentencing is not only lengthy, but it needs to be very harsh. you know, even the life sentence cannot bring back Jocelyn Smith and the many other Jocelyn Smiths that are out there. So, you know, that's just my response to the accused. Their silence, you know, is unacceptable. It's an obstruction of justice, like I said earlier. And the complicity, because they've supported each other, the three accused, unfortunately. And this poor child has just disappeared into the sunset. We'll never know what happened to her.
Very true. Dr. Shaida, our producer, Kothar Sambo, has argued, and I think these are two extremely important issues. One, we have to lift the lid on organizations and social groups. That perhaps some are playing their part in alleviating these ills that we face. Trafficking of children, kidnapping of children, even the harm, the abuse being orchestrated against children socially, sexually, emotionally, psychologically. Speaking to broader organizations and social groups and active community members to come together, band together to ensure we avoid this from recurring again. And then again, it's a direct reflection of the social ills that continue to plague our society. And sadly, I mean, we spoke to A.B. Isaacs yesterday, who's a representative of the Cape Flats Community Policing Forum. And he was arguing the fact that communities are being held ransom on the Cape Flats by gangs, by criminal elements. Our kids are no longer safe, haven't been safe for many, many years. And there has been a call from communities, send in the defense force to close down that area, get hold of the perpetrators, cleanse the areas so that our kids can once again be safe. So this is essentially a multifaceted argument, and it's essentially a multifaceted approach that needs to be adopted.
Indeed, I think, you know, you speak about the multifaceted approach. Communities on their own cannot combat or fight crime and organized crime, and cannot combat the violence that is actually inflicted by gangs within their neighborhoods. And therefore, we need the different stakeholders to work together, to synergize their efforts. It cannot be just law enforcement on their own, but we need all the different government departments to come together as a collective and concerted effort to fight crime, to fight the scourge and end violence against children. So until we don't have that, and the most important thing here is that, of course, the president has to speak to National Treasury to allocate funding, resources. Without resources, the under-capacitation, under-resourced, under-skilled government departments are not going to be able to be successful in fighting the scourge of crimes committed against children, families, and communities.
I think just in conclusion, Dr. Shaida, what would your message be to parents, to family members, to caregivers, to communities? Because there are times when we slip up, we do become a little bit lax. Kids are essentially the minors that are within our parameters. And just that quick gaze away from the attention whilst they are supposedly under our care, that vigilance, which is absolutely paramount. And perhaps communities and neighbors that are aware of kidnappings and perhaps syndicates that cooperate, and local members in our communities that either harbor them or they cooperate with these syndicates. What would your message be to all these important role players?
So the take-home message, which you articulated so beautifully, be vigilant, do not be trusting. Trust is often exploited, and children are sexploited, and children are trafficked under the under the issue of trust, because often we take trust, we trust our friends, family, neighbors. Unfortunately, we cannot. We continue to remain vigilant, and we must be vigilant and engaging with children all the time, regardless of whether it's an uncle, aunt, friend, neighbor. The children cannot be entrusted in the care of people without any kind of adequate monitoring and supervision.
Dr. Shahida, Umar Teddy Bear Foundation for Abused Kids. Jazakallah so much.